Andries Ngome is now with us. He's Marikana Silver Suit Attorney. Good morning, Andries. How are you this morning?
I am very well, thanks. And good morning to your listeners.
Andries, take us through the origins of this case, because many of us have not been following it closely.
Look, if I were to start from immediately after the massacre took place, 379 mine workers were arrested, and many ended in the hospitals, and we know the numbers that ended up in the morgue. And immediately thereafter, we had the president approaching to make an offer for funeral costs to be paid, and some discussions to start taking place between himself and the mine workers. And that was not hush-hush. It was 10 years back.
Indeed.
So over the years, we have had to force government to court, and government admitted liability. Now we're in the process of making calculations with the government about amounts that they must pay. Now you will see, with the judgment that was given in the past week, the judge says in the first lines that the government has accepted liability. And further on, he says the massacre took place as a result of a toxic collusion between lawmen and the SAPS. And we know also that the person that was at the center who masterminded and championed this was President Ramaphosa in his personal capacity.
Also, the court has found, not that we know, but the court has now found, right?
The court has found that President Ramaphosa championed, masterminded, and participated.
Correct.
In the toxic collusion between state and capital. So he was the mastermind behind all of this. The only person that could stand in his position at that time was himself, simply because, one, he was a shareholder of Lonmin; two, he was an NEC member of the ruling party. So that made him able to pick up the call and speak to a minister in government and say that we need to recharacterize this, simply because these laborers are criminals. And we know exactly what transpired immediately after the characterization having taken place. The mine workers were not anymore threatened with bullets and pepper sprays, as well as water cannons. The posture of the police changed. They then ordered automatic rifle bullets. They ordered the mortuary vents. And we know that if that was the case, it means they could foresee the massacre unfolding. They knew that people were not going to be injured, but people were going to be murdered. Hence, they said, we don't need ambulances, we need mortuary vents.
Whoa.
And we know also that it hasn't been hush-hush.
Hang on.
It's been slowly grinding.
Andries, you are more familiar with this case. So when you throw statements like that out, you know which page in your documents that is. Who said we don't need ambulances?
That was said in the Falam Commission's report.
I see.
We know on the 15th of August, the day prior to the Marikana massacre on a Wednesday in the afternoon, with a press statement, they said it's going to be a D-Day. And this was said by General Mbombo of Northwest. And when asked as to what is it that you mean by that tomorrow is going to be the D-Day and the strike is going to come to an end, he says, I will not tell you. You'll see what's going to happen tomorrow.
So, okay. Andries, help me understand, as a lay person, tie me from what I may know in the press to how we get to, through your documentation and what your case was before the court, how we get to finding that the president was collusive, masterminded, and championed. What evidence did they use to prove? Did you use to prove that?
It has not been disputed by the president, even in the Falam Commission, that he's the one that wrote all the emails and was the one that was championing that the strike action, the labor dispute, must be characterized as a criminal act. And he admitted in the Falam Commission. Now, in the summons that we issued, we said that the massacre took place as a result of exactly that. Now, the president tried to run away from that responsibility and raised an exception that says he had nothing to do with championing or masterminding a toxic collusion. But the judge, I think it's on paragraph 42, stated that the president in his personal capacity masterminded the toxic collusion between state and capital. And he also says at the beginning that the state has admitted liability. So therefore, it means it is just a matter of time for us to come to a conclusion that says the president must personally compensate our clients and he must apologize for what transpired in Marikana.
Already the Falam Commission demanded that the president apologize. He was supposed to see the widows. He still has not. I mean, it's been 2015. It's been 7 years. Well, I mean, is he that busy at the G7? Or?
Look, I think it's out there for everybody to see that the president, in the message, in as much as he made a promise and the recommendations were that he must go through and apologize, he has not done so. So even in this matter, where the state has accepted liability, we are expecting the president, as a champion of government policy, to also agree with state to say that the massacre took place and we are supposed to admit liability and move on from the story. But for the fact that we are calling on the president to be personally liable, he feels he can dig heels in and not come through. So therefore, it will only be through the courts, it seems, that we are able to draw out of the president an apology.
So I'm clear, Andries. What you would like out of this case, and we, of course, as you say, we'll see tomorrow in terms of how, not sentencing, but you know, the findings will lead to the behaviors that must come about. You want the apology, and you want some kind of restitution paid out to the families of the killed. And in what form would you like that?
Look, the president must sit in a room with people that are affected by the massacre, so that we can have a discussion that goes to what transpired, where we now are, where we feel we could go in future. Now, Lodman has made... Lodman, after the recommendations, they were trying, in as much as in court they are disputing their liability, but they have been saying they seek to appoint the children or the family members of those that died in the massacre. So we seek the president to participate in a similar process, and to also make sure that those that are still injured, that those that still have bullets in their bodies, are assisted to make sure that they get the best medical care going forward.
And is there no undertaking at this time from Lonmin to do so?
There isn't. There isn't.
Okay.
Not even one of the people that were injured as a result of Marikana massacre has been compensated a cent.
So there's been no civil... This is not a criminal hearing, I understand. This is a civil suit. However, the admission or the finding of being... quote unquote, participating in, masterminding, and championing the toxic collusion that resulted in death. Does that not become tantamount to a crime? And would that not require a criminal hearing?
We understand that there's been charges that were laid, but obviously this is not the process.
I won't put you there.
This is a process out of which we're seeking to have damages and compensation to our clients and an apology.
Damages, compensation, apology. And you, interestingly, it seems as though, are you seeking this specifically from the president, or do you want this from the president, inter alia, Lonmin, inter alia, SAPS?
The parties that participated in the massacre.
So all three.
From government, all three.
Government.
Lonmin as well as the president.
Alrighty. I just wanted to know whether this was a witch hunt for one person, or if you were looking for justice.
No, it's essentially all the parties that participated in the massacre should come through and assist in, and make sure that our clients are appeased.
Andries Nkomi, thank you so much. Marikana civil suit attorney will keep a very close eye on this case.